Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, we welcome back our fitness guru, Kai Fusser, now of Golf Fusion. So stay tuned to get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad you'd be along. This hour, we wanted to check in with our fitness guru. He's been a longtime contributor to this show, and he's contributed to a lot of my aches and pains in my body. And not too long ago, he got together with a guy named Dylan Ross from PGA, and they opened up Golf Fusion. We told you about it on the show before, but if you haven't heard about it, we're going to talk about that with our buddy Kai Fusser throughout the hour and all the other things. He's a worldly man. He's a world traveler. He's known the world over. So the fact that he's coming on again is appreciated. And he happens to be stateside. So, Kai, welcome back to the show. Appreciate you making time as always.
Thank you, Keith. It's always a pleasure.
Well, thank you very much. That's a good way to start. There you go. That's how the guest gets right up there. So let's start with what you guys have going on in South Florida. We talked about it on this show a number of weeks ago, and we like to stay on top of emerging great ideas in the industry and around the industry. And Golf Fusion has really taken off, and what you've done in West Palm Beach is setting the standard when it comes to golf fitness and the facilities involved.
Yeah, I mean, you've been there when it was almost completed. I want to say 80% completed or so. So now we're really up and going, up and running since, since March, April, you know, everything is done and we're at 100%. And it's, number one, it's a lot of fun. Of course, we have a great facility. I have to commend Dylan on it. Of course, he put all his Scottish knowledge and details into the whole facility. Everything is perfect, always perfect. And a little bit of my German on top of that. So that was a good combination. Full of technology, latest technology, anything you can imagine that has to do with golf. Obviously, I got my gym there too. We got a recuperation room there too, recovery room with cold plunge, with infrared sauna. We got a treatment room and a great putting area, sand putt lab, and all kinds of things, you know. So, it's a lot of fun. It's fun to run. We got quite a few members already, and we're off and running and ready for the next season, you know, in the summer here in West Palm Beach. People leave in the summer for a couple of months, but then come middle of September, we get going full bore again.
Yeah, it'll be something. I mentioned in the presentation or the open to introducing you, the introduction, that you've been a longtime contributor to this show, going back to the days when you worked with somebody named Annika Sorenstam, who incidentally had a pretty good weekend at Lake Tahoe last week. So kudos to her. And Mike was on the bag, Mike McGee, her husband, and I know Will had a great time, and their daughter, so it's a great family outing for them. But Annika and you kind of also set a standard because you worked hand-in-hand with her to keep her optimized and to be the outstanding best athlete that she could be.
Yeah, I mean, it was, it's always fun to look back. It was in 2001 that I met her. She was looking for a trainer, and somehow I was lucky enough to meet her and be the chosen one, even though I had no idea about golf, which probably was a good thing at the time back then, because fitness wasn't really a thing, except of what Tiger started to do, you know, around that time too. But yeah, it was a great ride, 7-8 years on tour, plus we had the academy together over at Reunion, which is near Orlando. So a great ride. I was very lucky to meet her, of course, and lucky to be chosen by her, and I learned a lot from her, because, as we all know, she's a very, very special person. better performer. I don't know if there are better performers out there. You know, there is in some sports, of course. There's always, you know, great, great athletes. But I want to count her in as one of the top five of any athlete, any sport, I would say.
Well, you know, you learned obviously a lot of things in working with her, and you were handpicked by Dylan Ross when he was starting Golf Fusion. So what were you able to take from your Annika years and bring to West Palm Beach and have at Golf Fusion now?
You know, obviously, you know, to learn from Annika's attribute to be, you know, to get where she was and is today still with everything she is doing, you know, from a discipline factor, from a planning factor, from a mental factor, from all that, you know, but obviously I took away a lot from that and I'm able to, you know, portray that on others and teach it to others and also what we found out back then is, you know, do real workouts, you know, move some weights, move yourself, you know, do hard stuff, do fast stuff. And obviously that is true today. If you look at all the PGA or LPGA players, top levels, they're all doing fitness and we're all going hard at it. You know, I don't want to say everybody does the right thing, but everybody does something right for sure. And you know, that's that combination I learned of how, when you teach movements through fitness and then, you know, and teach perfect movements, how that can relate to a swing, how it can migrate over to a swing and just make a swing more efficient, healthier, obviously, you know, learn how to generate more speed, more control, more balance and all that.
So when you are working with an athlete like Annika, that's top shelf stuff. So you have people come in to Golf Fusion and they're not, perhaps to that level, male or female, from this standpoint. How do you get them to be the best that they can be?
Well, I think the first thing is I got to learn how they react and what they react to. How do they learn? You know, when is it too much for them? I need to learn the thresholds, you know, which takes a little while. You know, how far can I push them? I have to do an assessment now. You know, we always start with an assessment if somebody comes in and wants to work with us. If it's a pro, if it's, you know, a five handicapper amateur, or if it's almost a beginner. We start with an assessment from the golf side, which Dylan is doing, and there's certain parameters, of course, that he looks at in different swings and all that. From my side is, you know, I look at different factors of, number one, are there limitations? Are there, you know, limitations in terms of, you know, flexibility, movement patterns, you know, are the movement patterns right? What's the strength level? What's the speed level? You know, what is going on in a swing? What are the swing faults? And we can address them in a gym very, very easily. Of course, we take away the ball in the club and now people can think straight again. And they can also see them in the mirror, see themselves in the mirror and see what they're doing. And so the learning curve is a lot higher when we do it in the gym in terms of changing a movement pattern that's probably holding you back in the swing, maybe sliding the hips over shoulders or dipping or losing your spine angle and gripping too much and so on.
What he's just said is there's a lot of stuff that you have to work on he can work on with you for sure. And that's before he does the medicine ball and all that other kind of the bells or the, you know, so all this stuff that guy does. But you know, you seem energized every time I talk to you. It doesn't matter if it's at Golf Fusion or it's on the phone or it's at the PGA show. You always have this energy about you, and you always have this positivity about you.
Yeah, well, you know, it's my passion. It's what I do. It's what I've been doing for, you know, 26, 27 years with golfers. Obviously, starting with Annika back then. Before that, I was involved with water skiers and race car drivers and NBA players and things like that. And before that, I was working on myself, trying to get the best I can get, you know, with my water skiing stuff. And just in general, as a kid already, I was running around with a little dumbbell back in the, believe it or not, mid-60s. You know, trying to do something better. It was just, I kind of like was born into it in a way, and it's been a passion since, and I'm still going hard at it, and I love when I see people improve. If it's hitting it 5 yards further, if it's winning the US Open, if it's, you know, being able to walk straight and relax with dynamics at age 75 or 80, you know, those are all things that excite me if I can help somebody to get where we want to get.
I always love when people do find their passion in life, and especially if they can make that their job or make money from it, because it's not really like working, although you work very hard and express that passion to people. And that's a big deal, because there are a lot of people, this is now a part of an industry. So trainers are out there, and then you take a smaller piece of the pie and say, these are specific trainers for the game of golf. But a lot of people are trainers, but they're not all trainers are created equal.
Yeah, I mean, it's number one, I think it's what is the purpose of the training? And obviously people think about fitness, and I don't, for myself, I don't like the word fitness anymore too much with what I do, because fitness is very easy to achieve. And I don't mean it in a bad way. What I mean by that is you do something faster, you get faster. You do something heavier, you get stronger. You do something longer, you get more endurance. So on and on. And that's great for general fitness if you want to be, you know, healthier. If you're a bodybuilder, you know, you just go ahead and do that stuff, you know, and go at it. I rather see it now over the last few years as being a movement specialist or movement trainer. We haven't found the right word yet, so maybe somebody out there can help me with that, to find a good word for that. So the way I see it now, I like to teach movement. I call it efficiency through perfect movement. And I use tools for that. So the tools would be, number one, your own body, of course. You need to propel and control and accelerate, decelerate your own body. But also we use dumbbells to move an object, which would be dumbbells. Also a club is moving an object, controlling that object. We use the cable system, because there we can do great rotational exercises. We can learn how to get free of a load. We use medicine ball, again, how do you produce power? How do you produce a load? How do you produce impulses? How do you release those impulses? Where does the medicine ball go? You know, how much energy stays in your body when you do it? Rotating around your axis to minimize any bending in any part of your body, just to, you know, it's more efficient that way. You need less energy to get something accelerated, but it's also easier on your joints and your whole skeletal system. So those are all the things, you know, dynamics. You know, dynamics are very important. We use the ground to generate dynamics. We know it when we walk. You bounce across the earth, and the earth pushes back at you, and it's really easy to walk. And you know, if you would ask somebody, do you feel your weight when you walk? Nobody does. And if you weigh 200 pounds, you know, lift up 200 pounds. Yeah, here it is. It's amazing how we can walk. Don't even feel our weight. Of course, we let it happen. We have learned it a long time ago. We're relaxed. We let our body work efficiently. So that's what I'm after. Getting stronger, getting faster, more endurance, more flexibility, you know, all that is a side product. Of course, I use tools to teach that, to teach perfect movements.
So you teach a lot, though. You've given a lot of seminars, and as we go throughout the show, we'll talk about the different places that you have and will be giving seminars and stuff. You're obviously TPI certified, which is our friend Dr. Greg Rose, who started something fantastic decades ago as well. For some reason, I get to be the test dummy for everybody. I was one of Kai's test dummies, and I did that for Dr. Greg Rose before he started TPI. Just amazing when you look at this stuff. And yes, I guess I've gotten a little bit better, but you know, the test dummy did not go to the top of the rankings. So.
Well, there's always help for you. We're waiting.
Yeah, I do owe you guys a visit. For whatever he wants to do a full workup, which is, you know, man, I gotta dedicate a week for that. So, we'll see with Kai.
Yeah, 20 minutes might do. Depend what we do.
20 minutes. Oh, 20 minutes. You think you can get it done in 20 minutes? Huh? Okay, you gotten that
like,
good.
You done it.
That's the truth. Because we're with Kai Fuser, and we'll be back.
Hi, this is Annika Sorensen, and you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones.
And we are back with Kai Fuser, spending the hour with us. He is our fitness guru, but he's been Annika's fitness guru. He's started the Golf Fusion with Dylan Ross down in South Florida, West Palm Beach, on Georgia Avenue, to be specific. If you want to stop on by, they'd be happy to show you around, and be careful what you wish for, is all I'll say it that way. But you've been at a lot of different things over the years, and one of the programs that you developed was I believe, called HIIT, and that would be high-intensity training. And the reason I mention that's effective, certainly, there is something out now, and I don't want to say it's WIT, but it's power, like power walking. It's walking, but you do interval, more strenuous walking for like 3 minutes when you're walking, then you do it slow. And I'm sure you've heard of that. You're familiar with it. But can you is that helpful for people that are trying to ramp up, or what is your take on the walking part and also on the HIIT?
Yeah, I mean, the HIIT, you know, I didn't develop the HIIT. Somebody did before, way before me. I think it came out of Japan, actually. But I sure was very interested in it when I learned about it, and there was some structure to it and some research on it. And basically what it is, you know, the sprint should not be more than 10, 15 seconds, maybe 20 if you're a really, really good athlete and you can keep your highest output up for that long, you know. So but the 10 seconds is a critical time. Of course, they call it the king of speed if you think about, you know, the 100-meter dash, right? It was always around 10 seconds. So that's maximum output at 100% what we got. Usually, you know, again, 10, 12, 15 seconds, we're done with that. So you train in that zone. I know there's HIIT classes now, but they're like 45 minutes to an hour long. It's not HIIT anymore. It is more like, you know, cardio training, I would call it. So with HIIT, you do 6 to 8 sprints, 10 seconds long, 20 to 30 seconds in between on break. And the sprints can be running. It can be running uphill, you know, if your knees and things like that aren't 100% anymore, do a little bit of sprints uphill. It can be on a stationary bike. It can be on a push treadmill, so a treadmill with the electric off, with the belt off. It can be on an upper body ergometer, which is like an arm machine, like a bicycle for your arm. So that's the HIIT. Now, the other one that you called, to be honest, I'm not 100% familiar with it. But, you know, it is good. Walking, number one, is still one of the best things we can do. And I even tell my athletes, go for walks. Go for walks every day, 20, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, if you have the time. Evening, morning, doesn't really matter. Walks are just so good. Of course, it does a lot of things physically. It massages your organs and all kinds of things. But it also, you can get away, your brain can slow down, you know, you can think, you see stuff, you know, so I think it's really good for that. Now, interjecting some sprints into that, obviously, you know, it's great too. You're doing two things at the same time. Question would be, you know, is it as effective as just going for walks and get the benefits from just walking and then doing the HIIT training, you know, at another time and just concentrate on that? Of course, the HIIT training, you're done usually in 4 minutes. Of course, if you take 8 sprints, 10 seconds plus 20 second breaks, that's 4 minutes. So you know, there's two ways to do it. I think for an athlete, I would say do a HIIT. Of course, you want to concentrate on 100% power output over a short period of time. How much can you get out? Can you get to 100% every single time? And it's good speed training. It teaches the body to be fast. And I suggest that for our older folks too, and older folks, you know, I'm in my 60s, but I'm even for 70, 80-year-olds, you know, at their level, of course, can you do something really, really fast? Because most people, they start doing fast things at, I don't know, 35, 40 years old, I would estimate. You know, when was the last time you did something at 100% speed, running from the devil? And it doesn't have to be running if your joints can't make it. You know, again, it can be on a bike or on a treadmill or something like that too. And that's what it's about, you know, and it's just teaching speed. Of course, the first things we lose as we get older is speed and balance. So speed is important.
Speed is the first thing you lose before the balance.
Well, either balance or speed, it depends a little bit. You know, you stop doing speed earlier, then you stop doing balance.
Of course, true,
you know,
yes.
If you're still walking, you still do some things, you know. But either one is bad, and usually they go parallel. And, you know, once you get to losing balance, then another thing what happens is you don't want to do speed anymore because you're afraid of it. but also you start walking different, which means, you know, you're using your antagonists against each other. So let's say quadricep hamstring, and then you walk like, you know, the Florida shuffle. If anybody is familiar with that, meaning you use both muscles at the same time. There is no more dynamics in your legs, and you kind of walk like a robot, you know. We sure don't want to get into that situation.
No, we don't. The Florida shuffle. We're going to talk more about that with Kai Fuser, amongst other things, when we come back after this break.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter. The Lama. Long. Into a 10,000-foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga.
I love when a guest makes the host laugh. And you did that time with the Florida Shuffle before we went to the break. So, all right. So let's go over this. The shuffle is from two muscles working against each other. Is that what you said?
Pretty much. I mean, there is no, you know, in terms of research, you know, it's not clear why that is really happening. My theory is, as we lose balance, our body, our brain always wants to protect ourselves. So sometimes maybe too much even, or at least we think too much. So what's one way to slow you down when you walk, you know, and there's, you know, might be afraid of tripping and this and that, is just slow down your muscles. And one way to slow down your muscles is when you use both muscles at the same time. So again, quadriceps, hamstring, go ahead and tighten both of them up and walk. And you see your knee is not flexing anymore, you know, and you're just like, it's like strength walking almost, right? There's no dynamics. You don't use the dynamics from the ground. And, you know, what we need to understand is the dynamics we always get from the ground. So if I push against the ground pushes back to us. So it's physics. It's basically taking impulses from the ground. You know, it's a bit hard to picture, but picture the ground being a big trampoline or being a big, big gym ball. You know, you step on it and you can bounce off of it. So if we don't use the dynamics of the ground anymore, then we'll walk like a robot because we have to use strength. And but it's also in the swing. A lot of people use antagonistic muscles too much. So if you think about it, you have a left arm and right arm, left hand, right hand, you put them together. Now, you know, right arm has more of the, you know, duty of bringing the club back, obviously training the shoulders, right? And on the way down, you know, it's a mixture, obviously left arm, right arm. But if they don't work in sync, meaning you can't flex both of them at the same time, of course things slow down then. So a muscle under tension is always slower as a muscle, you know, without tension. And we know that when we ski, squeeze, right? So if you picture you do old gun show, right? Sleeve up, old gun show, squeeze as much as you can, show your bicep. So what happens there? You're expending a lot of energy, maybe 50 watts, 100 watts, when you squeeze as hard as you can, your bicep pops out, and there's no movement. So you spend a lot of energy, but nothing is moving. So the question would be, what is it good for, unless you need to hold something in place? So that means your bicep and your tricep has the same tension at that time. So in order for me, for my fist to come closer to my head, I need to let go of the tricep. For my fist to go away from my head, I need to let go of my bicep. And that interaction is very, very critical. And it's the same in a swing. You know, when we rotate to the right side, rotate the shoulder to the right side, you know, certain muscles in the core engage with rotation, but the opposite muscles in the core have to let go. So a lot of times what I see in the gym is, you know, somebody comes in, oh, look, I can't turn to 90 degrees. You know, my shoulders, my hips are so tight, and I can only get to like 60, 65 degrees in the swing or so. It's not being tight. It's your opposite muscles not letting go. Of course, if I put them in front of the mirror and say, hey, just stay relaxed, you know, stabilize your hips a little bit, look in the mirror and just fling your arms around and your shoulders around, you know, accelerate your arms by rotating your shoulders, really relax, really loose, the arms are just flying. All of a sudden, look in the mirror, oh boy, I'm turning 90 degrees or even more. Of course, we're relaxed. So you can imagine if you have a club in your hands, you create a triangle in front of you, and there's a little tension, and this and that, you know, things start to shut down and work against each other. And that's one of the main things I actually work on, is learning how to use the right muscles at the right time in the right sequence.
That's interesting. We're talking to Kai Fuser, our fitness guru, but also the go-to guy at Golf Fusion in West Palm Beach, Florida, and, well, just in general. So we always appreciate his time because he's so informational and so knowledgeable, amongst other things. That is Kai Fuser. And when you talk about the golf swing and the golf shot, people automatically tense up when they put their little ball down. It's game over, right? So you talk about stay relaxed and stuff. Relaxed is the last thing usually that people are thinking about when they're taking a golf swing.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we gotta see where it comes from, right? Unless you started playing, you know, and hitting balls at 4, 5, 6 years old, and you know, it's, you learned how to deal with all that and just, you know, love playing, and then you keep going from there. But for us amateurs, you know, the problem is we have seen a lot of bad shots from ourselves, and you know, those are all recorded in your brain, the good stuff and the bad stuff. But you have more bad stuff than good stuff. There's some bad memories in there. Ball's gone, you know, your friend was watching it, ball in the bush, you whiffed one, and so on and so on. So that thing is embedded in there, consciously or subconsciously. So that's one, you know, problem we got to deal with. And also, you know, we're very eager, you know, obviously distance is still a big thing. A lot of amateurs, you know, dream about more distance. They want to hit it further. But what happens when we hit it further, if they want to hit it further, we usually tighten up the wrist too much, or fingers too much, or arms too much, and so on and so on. There's a lot of things that's going on. And the sad thing is, it's very hard to practice with a club in your hands, the ball in front of you, and a target. So you can't learn there. Well, it's very hard to learn. You can practice, but you can't really learn. So what we have found out over years, and that started with at the Annika Academy back then, you know, 2007 to, gee, I think 15 or so. And we had that. So what we learned is, of course, we had the gym no more than 30 yards away from the driving range. And a lot of times, Henry, Annika's coach, you know, being out there teaching people, he would bring them in if he couldn't show them how to do certain things. And we bring them into a gym, and what we do right there is, obviously, take the ball away, take the club away, there's no target. I put you in front of a mirror. I load you up either with a medicine ball or with a cable or something like that, so you have a little bit of a load. We can slow everything down. With that load, you can feel which muscle is initiating movement or slowing down a movement. You can watch yourself in the mirror, see, am I aligned? Are my shoulders or my hips? Is my spine angle straight? And so on. And while you do that, now you can think, you can feel, you know, your brain takes it in. You get good pictures of it. There is not all that rush. Of course, let's face it, for most amateurs, and we don't know how it is for super players like, you know, take Rory or Tiger or Annika or any of those guys, or Scotty now, you know, what do you really feel? Are you aware of that, let's say, from the setup point, backswing down? Are you aware what's really going on right there? Or is it a black moment? I would argue for 99% of people, it's a black moment. They wake up and see the ball flying. So how do you want to learn in that position? How do you want to take something new in? Very, very hard. Of course, you got to go out and practice all that, you know, on the range and on the course then. But the repetitions and the automation of a good movement has to happen in an environment where you're not afraid of to begin with.
Yeah, that's a very well-taken point. You mentioned Scotty, and obviously you're talking about Scheffler. He's been using an apparatus, a system called Golf Forever. Yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with it. You probably are because you research and find out all these other kind of things. But if you are familiar with it, what are your thoughts on something like that?
Well, I'm not 100% familiar with it. I know some of the tools I saw at a PGA show. And, you know, I mean, it's great. You know, we need to give people tools, amateurs mainly, I would say, give them tools where they can do stuff at home where we can do stuff in a good environment, give them good instructions, make it simple, make it relatable, make it where we can correct themselves, and where we can put repetitions in. Of course, only through repetitions and throwing it, doing a movement perfect over and over again, can you embed something in your system, basically make it automated, where you, not to a point where you do it perfect, but to a point where you can't do it wrong anymore. And that's what we're after, you know. So any of those systems, I think we're great. You know, we're all tools, and everybody reacts different to, you know, training and to training tools and to training methods and all that, you know. So I think it's great, you know, for somebody to put something like that out.
So how important is cardio? Because I know that's something you talk about pretty regularly as well. It's important for the game itself from a person's standpoint, for performance from the standpoint, or mentally, or where does it come in?
Well, it depends what you consider cardio. You know, most people consider cardio, okay, I'm going jogging for 45 minutes, on the treadmill for 45 minutes, on the elliptical or something like that. Cardio is also, though, you know, HIIT training, you could consider it cardio as well. Of course, obviously, you bring your heart rate all the way up and back down again. So, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I'm a big fan of the HIIT training, of doing sprints, especially for athletes, because all it's about speed and learning how to control speed and learning how to be relaxed when you put out full speed. And in terms of slow cardio, I think it's great, too. But I also think you can overdo it really easily. And, you know, it's for example, we know with HIIT training, where it only takes, you know, 4 minutes, like we mentioned before, and eight sprints of about 10 seconds, that's anabolic, meaning it builds muscle. Whereas a slow cardio, anything over 20, 30 minutes, is catabolic, which means it takes muscles away. Just picture a marathon runner and a bodybuilder and a 100-yard, 200, 400-yard dash runner. So if you picture those two, I think you see the difference on the types of muscles and, you know, how one is anabolic and one is catabolic. But also what's happening with too much long cardio, it also produces a lot of inflammation. It's just, you know, and for later on, we talked about speed earlier, you know, it's just not as efficient, I would say. I'm not saying you should never do cardio. I think it's great to do a run or two a week. Go for good walks. I would consider that also cardio. But don't build your fitness on it. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but cardio is important, but not the main thing.
Exactly. It's a part of a whole spiel, you know. And it also depends what you want to do. You know, what is your end game? What are you training for? For, you know, with Annika, we didn't do much long cardio at all. You know, and with all my athletes, because it's just not that critical, and it can take away training time, more valuable training time, and it's just not as efficient as, you know, other things that you want to improve.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times when you're on the golf course, you know, get around that 14th hole or so, and Mr. Fatigue starts to tap you on the shoulder, and that fatigue starts to set in. Is cardio something that can help with that, or what are your thoughts to get through that rough stretch on the golf course?
Yeah, so, I mean, of course cardio helps with something like that, but again, it's not a main driver of it. I would say the main driver is, number one, strength. Of course, when you have more strength, then you're more efficient, especially if you learn how to use dynamics and you have an efficient swing, meaning you learn how to load up against the ground, you learn how to know, use dynamics to accelerate the club, you learn how to let go of the club, so all that energy you produce ends up in the ball and ends up in distance, so you get a lot more efficient that way. Also, you learn rotating around your axis, which is a lot more efficient than, you know, bending all over the place during the swing. So that's one thing, you know, find an efficient swing, learn how to produce a load and get rid of it, which means, you know, learn how to load up a club and then let that energy go away from you. You don't want it in your body. You don't want to keep it in. Of course, that takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of energy to slow all that down and try to control. But also what's happening, I think, is, mental. You know, when do you start losing concentration? What is going on nutritionally? you know, because that's a big factor too, especially if it's a little hot out there or so. We need carbohydrates, electrolytes. Electrolytes are critical. If you run low on electrolytes only by a percent or two, your brain function already goes down. And for a sport like golf, where it's very intricate, we need precision. We need super coordination. A couple percentage of electrolytes missing makes a big difference. And we see that a lot of times, the last 3, 4, 5 holes, even with the pros sometimes, how all of a sudden there's a weird swing coming out. It's like, oh my gosh, where did that come from? And a lot of times it has to do with running low on electrolytes.
So I always enjoy watching you give your speeches, and usually I see you on stage at the PGA show in Orlando. But you've been doing it for so many years around the, not just the U.S., but around the world. Talk about that adventure. You're sharing the wealth like you are on this show. We always appreciate your knowledge and your giving of such. But you really have been spreading it much further than just the United States.
Thank you. And, obviously it takes, organizations like yours, to spread the word. So I appreciate that too, just as much. And, I'm from Germany, as probably some people have noticed on my accent. I still didn't get rid of it all. So I love to do stuff in Germany. I'm involved quite a bit with a program over there. I train a lot of people through FaceTime or Zoom. I got groups over there, but also I love to go there and do seminars at the golf clubs for German PGA, for different organizations. Switzerland with Annika Academy, we went to Switzerland for many years every summer. We've been to Korea. I'm going to go to Austria, Switzerland, and Germany in about 4 weeks, so end of August. Switzerland is interesting. It's a guy I met 15, 18 years ago or so in Germany when I did the seminar there at a golf club in Heidelberg. And the guy was still young. He was like early 20s. He was still a medical student at the University of Heidelberg. And I ran into him last October at the TPI summit when I was speaking there. And here he is now, a full-blown orthopedic surgeon. And he put together a program in Switzerland, and it's very interesting, at the Balchrist University Hospital. And we are very well known in the world for their orthopedic programs, and we are very, very, very advanced hospital. And he put a golf program together, and only in Switzerland or something like that, I happen to be honest. But it's very interesting. They have it for the Swiss team, of course, but they also have it for good players, for tour players, but also for everyday folks that want to get better at golf. And especially we know I can say older folks because I'm one of them. People that now have time, they have the resources to dive into it and get better at their sport that they love. And there they can tap into their knowledge, into a database, what is going on during your swing. They can completely take it apart and also see whatever loads on the joints, and they have joint specialists there. Of course, everybody's age has some ache somewhere, if it's the knee, if it's the shoulder, if it's the back, if it's the neck. There's always something going on.
With the world traveler, Kai Fuser, we'll be back to wrap up the show.
Charles Barkley. Golf is good. I like to play golf. Tee it up. I love it.
We are back for our final segment of the show. Always a pleasure to spend time with this guy, Kai Fuser. He is a movement specialist. It's only because that's the latest term we came up with, or he came up with. We're trying to move it forward. I tell you what, you'll be moving. If you see Kai, you better move fast, because it gets a hold of you. You're in big trouble. I'm going to tell you right now. But only a good way. Only a good way. You'll hurt a few days later, but don't worry about that. That is nothing. Kai, I get asked.
You're quite on the road at that point.
What's that? Say again.
You're far down the road than that by that point.
I say it because you're in Florida right now and I'm not, so I could get away with that right now. When he sees me, I'm in trouble. But in that standpoint, but I get asked on a pretty regular basis, what is the age that the child should get involved and start playing the game of golf?
That's a good one. Of course, obviously, and I was one of them at a point in terms of soccer and my son. We parents are very eager. So that's, and you know, we always wish the best for our kids, of course, but we're very eager. So we have to be careful what we require from a kid. There's really, really good studies from Baldelli about how kids learn, and TPI actually has a lot of that as well. You know, if somebody's very interested in it, you know, seek out TPI. They have great research on it, and they can relay a lot of that. I would say, you know, specializing for a sport should not be till about 12, 13 years old or so. Boys and girls, there is a difference in terms of timeline. You know, the girls develop quicker. So there's certain things, for example, we know for speed training, just for example, if you have a 3 or 4 year old, let them whack something as hard as they can, obviously in a safe manner, right? So let them whack something and or throw something as fast and as hard as they can, because that's one opportunity, you know, a timeline where we learn speed really good. So for girls, it might be like a 3-4, for boys, maybe a 4-5. So it's usually 1 to 2 years difference up to, you know, up to until they're like 18, 19 years old or so, and then it changes around. But, you know, I think that early specialization to a sport can be trouble, of course. Number one, they could get fed up with the sport and be done with sports, period. They don't have an alternative and never played a different sport. But also, you know, overload on the system. You know, obviously in golf, you know, we all know it. We always rotate to right. And we have to be careful who's teaching the kid, because a lot of coaches maybe lack the knowledge of teaching young kids. And they're all happy if we're super flexible and can rotate and, you know, generate some speed through, you know, bending and this and that. And they love it. Of course, we play good at that age and I hit it far already at that age. But what are the long-term repercussions of that? Of course, I have seen girls, especially in our Athletic Academy, we had a lot of girls come in, and I've seen girls at 13, 14 years old, their shoulders were already in trouble, and some of them broken already, had back issues already. Of course, their home coach didn't recognize what was going on, or the dad, or the mom, or whatever it was, didn't recognize what's really going on. They were so excited that the kid's playing good, but didn't see how bad the swing was, you know. And at that age, you have really good hand-eye coordination. They can make the ball fly. It's just, you know, how much pressure is going to be on your body, how much you damage, especially if it's not 100% developed yet. You know, so I would think, you know, do some research on it. Sometimes you might need to slow them down a little bit. You know, of course, they can get frustrated quite fast. And you know, another thing I could suggest, Annika does a lot of work on that now. You know, she works with a lot of good people in terms of junior development. And obviously, you know, she went through it, or is going through it with her son Will, you know. And, you know, so she's done a lot of research on it. She is together with some groups. And I don't know if you remember, she was talking at the PGA show last October about that. She was interviewed about it, you know, how to deal with kids and help kids, and especially your own kids, and not be in the way, and how to foster them basically through the process. And it was great. So I would say, you know, dig into it a little bit, look at the Baldelli, look at TPI, look at what Annika's doing and the organizations she's involved with. If you go on her website, you will find that.
Well, outstanding. It's always great to spend time with you, my friend. We're going to have you back on. I don't know. We'll talk about the schedule once you get back from your European vacation. I mean, seminar schedule and such. But appreciate it, as always. Our fitness guru, longtime fitness guru, Kai Fuser. He is a movement specialist. This guy, well, if you were listening to this show, you know what this guy is. He is just a wealth of information, and we always appreciate it. We're just out of time. Get out there and practice your game, but do it right. Kai would want you to do it. So you go and practice your game, take it to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Get care.